This morning's lesson in Daniel is part of a larger story. The larger story is that the Babylonian king has had a frightening dream. He demands that his wise men not only interpret the dream, but tell him what was in the dream. They are unable to do so, and so the king plans to put them to death. In the meantime, Daniel hears of the plight of the wise men, goes to the king, and states that he can both describe the dream and give an interpretation. What we will read this morning is the content of the dream. You'll find this in the book of Daniel, chapter 2, verses 31 through 35. You can follow along on page 821 of your pew Bible. Listen for the word of the Lord. You were looking, O Lord, and lo, there was a great statue. This statue was huge. Its brilliance extraordinary. It was standing before you, and its appearance was frightening. The head of that statue was of fine gold, its chest and arms of silver, its middle and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. As you looked on, a stone was cut out, not by human hands, and it struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay, and broke them in pieces. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were all broken in pieces and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away so that not a trace of them could be found. But the stone that struck the statue became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. The word of the Lord.
We continue our readings out of the Gospel of Matthew, where we have been off and on over the last couple of months. And to set the scene for this passage, for those of you who were here last week, you remember that Jesus, it's past him coming in the triumphal entry into the city of Jerusalem. He's overturned the tables of the money changers. And so he's having these confrontations with the religious leaders and the ruling elite in Jerusalem. Now, at this point, it is sort of Jesus 10 and the leaders nothing, because he has won all of the debates and all of the confrontations. But our story this morning is a continuation of his conversation with them. So that's where we pick up. We are in the 21st chapter, looking at verse 33. Listen to another parable, Jesus said. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard, put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he leased it to tenants and went to another country. When the harvest time had come, he sent his slaves to the tenants to collect his produce. But the tenants seized his slaves, beat one, killed another, and stoned another. Again, he sent other slaves more than the first, and they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them, saying, "They will respect my son." But when the tenants saw the son, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and get his inheritance." So they seized him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. Now, Jesus asked the people, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? They said to him, "He will put those wretches to a miserable death and lease the vineyard to other tenants who will give him the produce at harvest time." Jesus then continued, "Have you never read in the scriptures, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? This was the Lord's doing, and it is amazing in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people that produces the fruits of the kingdom. The one who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, and it will crush anyone on whom it falls." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parables, they realized that he was speaking about them. They wanted to arrest him, but they feared the crowds because they regarded him as a prophet. The word of the Lord. In my previous church, for those of you who have now become used to my Ralphie and Ralphette children's stories, I used those for all 17 years in my last congregation. And one Sunday, I had sat down front and invited the children to come, and they were all sort of coming to the front. And Cindy knows the story I'm going to tell. And they were all coming to the front, and there was a new little girl, a family that was visiting, and she came and just leaped right up on my lap. I mean, it's really wonderful, and so I sort of put my hand on her back, and I was just, well, who are you? Glad you're here. But that was a mistake, because what I didn't see coming down the center aisle was my 4-year-old daughter. And if looks could have killed, that little girl would have been dead before our daughter got there. And then this voice comes out of her that sounds like something out of The Exorcist. My daddy. And she grabs the little girl by the arm and starts to yank her out of my lap. So I, you know, oh yes, hi Katie, here, come sit over here. I have 2 legs. You can sit on this knee. And through the entire children's sermon, it was just these darts from my daughter to this other little girl. My daddy. My mommy. My toys. That, as we said in the prayer of confession, is one of those first words that we learn as children. My. Mine. That's mine, not yours. Isn't it amazing how we don't have to be very old before we have this sense of entitlement to our possessions? Now, you would think that as we got a bit older, we'd get better about this. Nah, we don't. Just the things we say are mine are just more expensive. My 56 T-Bird. My 69 Z28, my stereo. We just have this thing as human beings where maybe it is fear, and if we claim something for ourselves, we feel as if there's something concrete in our lives that can't be taken away. My, mine. And the reason I lift this up this morning is because it's at the heart of our Jesus story within a story. As I said a minute ago, we have the story of Jesus. He is in this continuing confrontation with the chief priests and the rulers and the Pharisees. And they've been going at it, and so Jesus tells this other story, this other parable. And essentially, just to recap, many of you know this story, but just to sort of fill us all in, Jesus says, okay, once upon a time there's a landowner, an absentee landowner, by the way, which was very common in first century Judea. So the landowner comes, he buys this land, he puts a fence around it, a watchtower over it, he plants vineyards, but he lives someplace else. So what he needs are tenants who will take care of it until it is time to produce. So he hires these people. And probably a couple of years go by as the vines grow and are finally producing fruit. And so at that point, then, he sends his servants to get what was his. But these people have gone from being tenants, lessees, to believing that they are owners. And so the servants show up. Some are beaten up. Some are stoned. Some are killed. Well, the owner thinks, well, I'll just try again. And he sends some more servants, and Jesus says the same thing happens to them. So finally, the owner decides, well, maybe I'll send my son. They'll respect my son because my son is acting in my stead. The son shows up, and what do the people say? Look, it's the heir. And if we kill him, then we will get his inheritance and we will be the owners. It'll be ours. And so they take him outside the vineyard and kill him. So, Jesus turns to the crowd. It's the leaders, it's the Pharisees, it's just ordinary people. And he says, okay, what should the owner do? And they are unanimous. They know exactly what should happen. The owner should come and put, as they say, they should put these people to a miserable death and give the vineyard to someone else who will give to the owner what the owner is due. Now, you can sense here that finally everybody's in agreement. Jesus is in agreement with that. The leaders are in agreement. The people are in agreement. They're all out there just kind of high-fiving, fist-bumping. They're like, yeah, we finally got one of Jesus' stories right. That is, until the leaders realized Jesus was talking about them. And the way Jesus makes this clear is he starts talking about this rock, right? The cornerstone, the chief cornerstone, this rock over which people, if they stumble upon it, will be dashed to pieces. Now, for most of us, this seems like a really sort of cryptic idea, right? There's no real place to sort of hang our hat on it. But what Jesus was doing was he was moving back to that story we read out of Daniel. Because in Second Temple Judaism, in the time of Jesus, Daniel was one of the favorite books. It was read, it was studied, it was believed, because it was about a group of people, of Jews, who were held captive. But God protected them, God freed them. And so everyone in that crowd would be familiar with Daniel and what this rock meant. And what this rock meant was it was God's final, penultimate kingdom. That God's kingdom would be unleashed upon the earth and it would destroy all the kingdoms that were there before it, and ultimately it would fill the whole earth. Remember, this talks about the rock becoming a mountain and filling the earth. And what Jesus said to them is, I'm the rock. When you stumble across this rock, he says, what you have will be destroyed. And suddenly what they realized was, in Jesus' parable, they're the tenants. They're the people who have been leasing the land and are supposed to be giving their due to the owner who is God. But instead of listening to God and God's servants, the prophets, who had come and said, listen, folks, this is what this kingdom ought to look like, where the poor and the widow and the stranger and the orphan, they are taken care of, that you don't crush the poor. You don't lie about them in court. This is the kind of kingdom we ought to have. Instead of listening to that and doing that, they did what they wanted to do. This was their kingdom. They were going to run it how they wanted. It was going to be theirs for their own profit and prestige and privilege. But now Jesus said, you have a choice. You can either come with me, the rock of the new kingdom, or what you have will be taken from you and given to somebody who will show the fruits of what the kingdom ought to look like. He was accusing them of being lease, of being thinking they were owners rather than tenants. My hope is that this concept of the kingdom of God, that this is what God is bringing about upon the face of the earth, is neither new to us or sort of unexpected. After all, every Sunday we pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Every week we pray for the kingdom. And so my hope is this doesn't sort of jolt you somehow. But I think what jolts us is the idea that we're merely tenants on this earth. That nothing we own or think we own
is actually ours. It's all God's. Everything we own. And that's hard because we want to say, no, wait. It's my house, my checkbook, my family, my time, my life. These are my things. And what Jesus was trying to teach these leaders was that, no, none of that is theirs. All of this is God's. And I realize as we struggle with that, well, we almost seem like James Stewart in the movie Shenandoah. How many of you have seen the movie? Yeah, a few of you. All right. It's great. Go rent it. But at the beginning of the movie, he is sitting with his family, and they're farmers out in rural Virginia, and they're all sort of sitting around this big table, and he's to give the blessing. And this is the blessing that he gives. Lord, we cleared this land. We plowed it, sowed it, and harvested it. We cooked the harvest, and it wouldn't be here, and we wouldn't be eating if we hadn't done it all ourselves. We worked dog bone hard for every crumb and morsel. We thank you just the same anyway, Lord, for this food we are about to eat. And I think sometimes we feel that way. After all, we get up every morning, we go to work, we earn a living, we struggle, we try to save, we try to put money aside. The money, I mean, unless there's something about you I don't know, none of you have a money tree out back, that all that we have comes because we work and we earn. And so we don't want to say, it's really God's. But consider for a moment, if you will, the fact that all of us have been put in an amazing vineyard that we didn't create. We didn't create this blue-green planet. We didn't create the water in the Great Lakes. We didn't create the soil. We didn't create the iron ore that we dig out. We didn't create the coal that is there. We didn't create any of this. The rain that falls, this is all God's doing. The water we drink, the air we breathe, this is all God's gift to us. All we do is change it and transform it and work with it. We didn't make it. And so part of this, and just one other thing, and that is, especially for those of us who live here in the United States, consider what a vineyard we live in. A vineyard where we are free to worship, where we are free to work, where no one tells us what we have to believe or do, that we have opportunities in this country beyond the imagining of almost anyone else in the world. This is the vineyard in which we get to live. And so the challenge for us then is to see all that we are and all that we have as belonging to God. That we are merely lessees, tenants. And what God asks is that we take part of who we are and what we have and use it to the glory of His kingdom, to use it to build God's kingdom here and around the world. This is what God asks of us. And so the challenge I want to lay before you this day is to ask yourself this question as the elements are passed or as you go back out into your homes and places of work and schools. How would my view of what I have and what I am change if I saw at all as simply a lease from God and not my own? How would I use what I have differently if I understood that nothing is mine and everything is God's? Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks and praise for everything you have given us, for the water and the air and the sky and the earth. Help us this day when we walk from this place to look out at it and know that this is the amazing vineyard in which we've been placed. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.